So here's an unusual career trajectory. Presidential campaign fundraiser to novelist. But that's exactly the career move that my next guest is making. Bridget Siegel was the youngest presidential campaign finance director. That was for Kerry Edwards in 2004. She has worked for the Obama presidential campaign, Hillary Clinton for Senate, and Andrew Cuomo here in New York. Now she has written a novel that just happens to revolve around a Southern Democratic presidential candidate who has an affair with a campaign finance director. We'll see if John Edwards or Riel Hunter blurb the book. It's called Domestic Affairs. Bridget Siegel, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. So nice to be here.
So I read that in your bio that you're 35 and your first campaign was Hillary Clinton for Senate in New York in 2000.
Yes.
So you are 23 years old. Just out of college.
Fresh out of college. Yeah, absolutely. And I worked on the fundraising there. It was a great experience.
What was that exactly what you wanted to do when you got out of college? I see you
not
studied
at all.
Public policy at Georgetown. Is that right?
I did. I studied international studies, thought I was going to go into the CIA and
wow.
do some intelligence. But no, I am from Long Island and came home for the summer and started volunteering on Hillary's campaign and found a home there. It was a...
You want to shout out your town in Long Island?
Dix Hills.
Dix Hills. I see you. What was the allure? Did it come from a sense of idealism or a loathing for Republicans? Or how would you put it?
Idealism, definitely. I have always been a crazy idealist, or almost a romantic idealist at heart, and still am today.
What ideals?
That government really can work to help people, that it can make a difference in people's lives, that decisions leaders make really do impact people's daily lives and people's lives overall. And so for me, that's always been a really important thing to work on and work for, and fundraising was an exciting way to be a part of it all. And
what gave you the idea to write a novel about a presidential campaign? Reality wasn't weird enough in politics?
Right. You know, I kept saying, this should be a novel. No one would believe this, and have always wanted to write. And there were just so many great stories and so many interesting things that I think people hadn't heard about. You know, you always hear about the big affairs or this and that, but I feel like there are a lot of both affairs and also things that go on in campaign life from a day-to-day perspective that people don't hear about very often.
I'm sure everyone wants me to ask if your candidate character is based on John Edwards. Is he?
It's not. It's a compilation. All the characters in the book are compilations of people I've met over the years and people my friends on campaigns have met over the years. And
So he could be a compilation of John Edwards and Bill Clinton and Gary Hart and Newt Gingrich.
I'm going to let everyone guess on that.
We could go on and on and on,
Arnold,
right?
Schwarzenegger. Let's put some more Republicans in.
Right. I mentioned Gingrich. So listeners, right. if you've always wanted to ask a presidential campaign finance director something but never had one in your living room to ask, now's your chance. Bridget Siegel is here, and you can call up at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and she'll sit for questions about, you know, campaign finance, as well as talking about her book, which is called Domestic Affairs. I thought one of the most disappointing moments for Democrats who pay attention to this topic was in 2008 when President Obama decided not to stay within the voluntary spending limits of the public matching program, while John McCain did. Once the Obama campaign realized they were a fundraising juggernaut, they broke with the supposed ideals of the Democratic Party so they could spend McCain under the table. That was the first moment of disillusionment with the Obama magic for those who really followed that closely. Were you in on that decision?
I wasn't, and I understand where people could be disappointed and disillusioned by that, but you have to remember that was also still within spending, within campaign limits, and he was still operating under those campaign limits, whereas the PACs and the outside groups and what has now come to be all these super PACs are spending tremendous amounts on the Republican side. So really, I believe it would be better for candidates to raise more under the actual candidate's bundle of money rather
than these outside
sources, which are outspending the Democrats I mean, millions.
Indeed, certainly to, this year. Do you think Citizens United has actually changed anything about that or just affirmed that what was going on anyway is constitutional?
I think it was a huge step back from the steps we took forward from campaign finance reform.
In the McCain-Feingold law.
Yeah. It's really absurd, the amounts that are being raised these days.
As a campaign fundraiser, do you have different asks for different kinds of people, like those who believe in the ideals of the Democratic Party versus those who want something from government?
Absolutely. Well, you stay away from people who want something for government.
Really?
Because you shouldn't be doing that.
But wait a minute. All your candidates probably raise money from Wall Street, for example.
Yeah, but I've been very fortunate to work for candidates who have not – who I find have not bowed to the donors. And what you do – but you do have a difference of, you know, some people want to just go to the party and some people are idealistic and some people hate the opponent. And you definitely – it is a lot of trying to figure out who you – you know, who you're talking to.
But don't a lot of people also – people representing corporations especially and industries want to just make sure that they have their hooks in members of both parties, whoever's going to be in power?
I think campaign finance has done a pretty good job of – blocking that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially here in New York City. The New York City campaign finance is amazing on that front.
Because
it's very hard to raise money.
it rewards very small donations under $250 with like 7-to-1 public
absolutely.
Matches. But New York is unique.
Yeah.
Can you use one of your scripts on me? Like pretend I represent an industry that gives to both parties to make sure I can keep regulations off my bank. I mean off my
no,
back.
No, that's not something I can do.
What
absolutely
would you say
not.
To me?
I wouldn't. I would say I'm not the person to talk to because really for me fundraising has always been about the idealism and about the candidate and not about selling some power or selling something they can get. And I've
all right,
always
so
been...
I'm a very wealthy New Yorker. I've donated some to the Democrats and some to the Republicans at some time in my life.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to be the mayor of New York. But
okay.
You want a contribution from me that's sizable to your Democratic candidate's coffers.
I would argue my candidate's merits and talk about all of the good things my candidate has done in the past and all of the great things that they're going to do in the future. And I would tell you that they're not a candidate who will play to just whoever gives them money, but will do the right thing when it comes down to it.
Shelley in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Bridget Siegel, author of the new novel Domestic Affairs. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Bridget, I wanted to ask a question. On Saturday, first I'll give you a point of note.
Okay.
On Saturday, there was a front page New York Times article which astonished me, and not being a conspiracy theorist, this spoke to me of something that could just get crazy. A 64-year-old man living in Queens, black man, with no apparent source of income, has been found out to have given $400,000 to the Republican Party, $50,000 to Cuomo, and several other candidates. He has no income. He lives in an apartment. He has a Cadillac car.
We're going to run out of time here. What are you getting at?
The point is, have you ever run into anything as bizarre as this?
Do you know the story?
Myself, I have not. I read about the story, but I have not run into anything as bizarre as that, and I have really no clue what to say about it. It's obviously not appropriate, and hopefully they'll take the actions needed.
Shelley, thank you for your call. Your character in the book, the lead female character, Olivia Greenlee, is the campaign finance director with whom the candidate has an affair. She knows she's doing the wrong thing and that she risks hurting her party and therefore what her party stands for. What motivates her to be so bad? We put all the focus on the man.
You know, I think she the character I created is a young character who gets thrown into a world that is way above what she's been dealing with in terms of workload, in terms of people, you know. And one thing I wanted to bring out in my book was this such an interesting world that us fundraisers live in, which is you're making minimum money. You're working 24 hours a day. You're, you know, barely eating, and yet you have to be interacting with these people who are on a, who are spending millions on dinner and flying private jets. And it's, for me, it makes a very interesting world.
Jad in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jad. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I got you, Jad. Hi.
Hello.
I have a question. I lobby for a charitable nonprofit in New Jersey, and I can't believe that that when I have to flag down a legislator in the hallways of the State House, whereas industries get to take legislators out to dinner and wine and dine them, that they don't have more influence than I do, and that it has something to do with financing elections.
Well, I definitely won't argue that we need more campaign finance reform in New Jersey, in New York State, and across the country. I'm not by any means arguing that everything's fair and good. But I am saying that you need to look for the candidates who do respect making the right decision based not on their funders and not on their money, and look for those people and help them and get them into office.
Jad, thank you. Did you think about writing a tell-all rather than a novel?
No. A novel is so much more fun,
How would you compare what people can learn from your book about this world of, you know, campaigning where the candidate might have access to affairs with staff members, mm-hmm, compared to Riel Hunter's tell-all about her affair with Edwards?
I hope my book is a little more expansive on campaign life and especially on the fundraising, which I think especially nowadays is an interesting topic for people. You know, you hear about these campaigns raising literally hundreds of millions, and hopefully I provide a little insight into what that's like on a regular basis.
And funnier. Your book is funnier.
Oh, thank you.
And you're right. We're going to run out of time here. But your portrayal of the people, I guess, like yourself in the book, the campaign staffers, is of people working crazy hours who are low paid and eventually burn out. Do you come to feel exploited?
I don't think you come to feel exploited because you do it on your own by your own will. So you don't, but you definitely get burnt out.
We have 15 seconds. Is it glamorous to be a campaign staffer?
It has its moments, but no.
But no.
Well, it has glamorous moments, definitely. At the end of the day, I don't think the staffer is the most glamorous person in the mix.
Bridget Siegel's book is called Domestic Affairs, a Campaign Novel. And I see you hope that this gets into a movie, made into a movie, and that you get to play the lead character.
Wouldn't that be great?
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
WNYC.